Welcome to episode 242 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
There will be some links with some more information for those who are curious on the show page today, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
People are curious. I keep feeling like there should be a big moment there. Like,
what, is it you're done fireworks talking or something?
I miss the music. I know. Can't we cue it up while we're doing the recording?
Yes.
But why
no.
would we?
But no. It would be all over my track. It would be awful.
Okay.
We're totally ruining the illusion here, right?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, because I actually play the theme song live every single time. That's what happens.
Yay!
All right. No show next week.
Okay.
Again with that. It's Thanksgiving.
So happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, and then we will be back on December 5th.
Wow, whole month. Well, it's not a whole month.
Back on the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and then we'll be gone for 2 weeks and not back again until January 9th. There's 4 episodes left, including this one.
Oh, if for the year. If, blah, 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 blah. Bah!
For the year, yes. And I figured we're gonna talk a little bit about the Dorg, at least talk around them.
Uh-huh.
And taking all that research I've done over the last few years, couple of years, and how does that apply to the weird project I'm doing, where I'm trying to get digital organisms to somehow magically turn into something intelligent?
Yes.
Right. Doomed.
This has been covered.
No. Last episode, we talked about the ecological approach.
Yeah.
Where we try to give them a complicated enough environment to encourage intelligence to develop.
And you made the point that we are here in this complicated environment, and yet there are potatoes.
Yes. potatoes and barnacles. And there's so many different simple answers. And given a chance, these kind of algorithms will opt for the simpler answer. You know, by accident, I set it up so that I could make different species out of the Dorg.
Okay.
Really easily. I mean, make it impossible for them to have fertile children.
Well, different species. Congratulations.
Yes. So in theory, I could fill up all the simple niches. Mm-hmm. But I don't have that kind of money. I mean, the number of computers it would take to simulate a decently complex ecology. And the amount of time. I mean, just like talking Earth history.
Uh-huh.
We're about 4.54 billion years old, and multicellular life didn't really take off till about 550 to 750 years ago, million years ago, excuse me. So like a couple of billion years went rolling by without nothing but unicellular life. It's a problem, because after looking at the evolution of various clever critters, I've come to the conclusion that to make a big brain or something like it, I kind of need to harness the magic cellular self-organizing power of the universe.
Oh, right. That sounds difficult.
Yeah, I need the Dorg to at least cooperate, maybe even act multicellular.
Okay.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I'm still having trouble figuring out how to implement senses. I'm even more confused than I was on Monday. I was thinking about the Dorg, and the very next thing I need to do is give them senses.
Right. This is an
issue. Yeah, I was working on all this sort of geometry and perspective stuff, and then I realized how much time I could save by not doing that.
Okay. We don't need to. So we've given up on senses?
No. Just make them very simple. Like, I was thinking they'd have eyes, right? That means they need to be able to spin around.
Uh-huh.
And that means that they should be able to move forward in whatever direction they're going.
Oh, okay. So they'll have a forward.
Yeah. Alternatively, they can already move. Just a simplifying-ness.
Good.
Yes. How are you in the weather?
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering about this weather thing, because it's kind of depressing, right? Because every time I look it up, okay, currently we have
I've been wondering about the weather thing since you started it.
I don't know. It's the only thing I pay attention to. There's a typhoon, and I want to apologize every time I say hurricane in relation to the Pacific, because there are no hurricanes in the Pacific. There's typhoons.
Well, there's no need to be.
It's a thing.
Overly pedantic.
Well, it's not my fault.
Well, you're the one being overly pedantic.
Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, Typhoon Ramon. It's above the Philippines and below Taiwan right now.
I like the name Ramon.
I don't know how they name things over there. It's different. And also, our biggest earthquake of late was a 7.1.
Ooh, nice.
Right next to Indonesia.
Over there again, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And the reason I mentioned depressing is... So I start looking into this to see if there was a tsunami or not, right?
Oh, with the earthquake?
Yeah, if it's a 7.1 and it's in, oceanic. I did find a typhoon. Figuring out where the typhoon came from was one thing, but that it happened at all.
Wait, a typhoon or a tsunami?
Oh, goodness. Thanks.
It's Monday, folks.
Oh, I'm on top of my world here. Tsunami. There was definitely a tsunami. Terrible things happened. Mm. The news stories are not... Yeah, it's depressing. Now, I can't figure out how the tsunami happened. It definitely happened as a result of the earthquake, but some of those news stories suggested that there is a volcano involved and that basically a side of it slumped off. And that was the cause of the tsunami.
Oh, like an underwater avalanche thingy?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, but the pictures they're showing me of this volcano, it's above water.
Ooh.
So I think it just got affected by the earthquake being that close to it.
You know, I know it's very depressing and human tragedy and sadness and so forth. Uh-huh. But future fossil hunters will love that happened.
It's just odd because on my map is just a very large yellow dot and it equals human tragedy.
All right. Well, you know what? So today, I should have mentioned this earlier. I tried to mention this earlier, but then I don't.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about cooperation versus competition.
Okay.
And the mystery of multicellularity.
Mm-hmm.
And how to pronounce that word. We're going to be floating around talking about the eusocial insects.
Okay.
And you're going to love this. Okay, I looked it up. How do you pronounce eusocial?
Okay.
Right? It's the word social with E-U stuck in front of it.
Sounds good.
So I found several different sites. They were all on YouTube. They all used synthetic voices, and even they didn't agree. I'm going for eusocial. That's what I'm going to call them.
I agree.
These are the insects that end up with, like, the queen and drones and a whole bunch of worker insects.
But that makes the insect part of a multicellular type thing.
Well, sorry. Yeah, this is the reason I like it, right? I mean, like, way back in the day, mm-hmm. a whole bunch of little molecular things got to cooperating and became a cell.
Uh-huh.
And then a whole bunch of cells got together and started cooperating and became a bug.
Uh-huh.
And then a whole bunch of bugs got together and started cooperating and became a hive. This is a sort of, you know, communist Russian doll thing going on. So cooperation by itself isn't all that hard to induce.
Okay.
I've had it happen by accident a few times.
Is that when they're just stacked on top of each other? Or? Oh, wait. The sacrificial fat baby.
Oh, well, I don't know if that counts as cooperation. it's just sort of a nightmare is what that was. But all you really need to do is give them an environment where cooperation is... an advantage.
Okay.
Like, I mean, suppose I give you a game.
Okay.
You and, I don't know, three or four of your closest friends.
Okay.
Here is a bucket.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And in the bucket is a certain number of Skittles.
reward. Okay, Skittles.
And the goal is for you personally to get as many Skittles as you can get a hold of. But here's the twist. Every 10 seconds.
Okay.
I will double the number of Skittles in the bucket.
Neat. Okay.
And once the bucket is completely empty, that's the end of the game.
Is the goal to end the game, or just I just want to get as many Skittles?
You just want Skittles. That's all you want.
So I don't want the game to end.
No, you don't. See? How it is pretty simple, isn't it? Just a little kickback. Wait till the bucket's full, take half of it, divvy it up between the four of you, and you're all going to walk away with so many Skittles.
It's ridiculous. Okay, so Skittles for life.
Of course. So, suppose somebody new shows up.
Oh, they don't know the rules.
And they don't know the rules, and they're just hungry, and they just start grabbing the Skittles.
We kill them?
Well, now, yeah, there you go. You need to protect your crops.
Yeah.
Right, so there's four of you to that one guy. What if he shows up with his friends? Now they're cooperating as Raider.
Oh, well, we might die. Okay.
Yeah, you see how this goes back and forth. And it is pretty much what farming is.
Mm-hmm.
We use things that we could just eat. There's an old proverb about not eating your seed corn.
Well, okay, yeah.
We're not the only ones who found out this sort of trick. Like ants.
Mm-hmm.
They farm aphids.
Oh, that's right.
And fungus.
Mm-hmm.
Termites farm fungus.
I didn't know that, but okay.
there's a bunch of different species of termites. Some of them make mounds. Some of them like 17 feet tall.
I've seen them. Yeah, I've seen pictures of big mounds, yeah.
30 feet at the base. I mean across, not around. The funny thing about this is they build these huge constructions. And they're not much bigger than your thumbnail across. Right?
Oh, the critter?
The termite, yeah.
Okay.
And there's no foreman. No one's in charge. There's no blueprints.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like, where are these instructions?
Exactly. They've been doing some research on this. How does these structures emerge?
Mm.
And what they've found, which gives me hope, is that oftentimes there are very simple rules followed by individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those rules overlapping with each other, different sets of rules depending upon where you are or what's happening,
mm-hmm.
that allows them to build these complicated structures, even though they probably have no idea what they're doing.
This is perfect.
And you go back to the way we build our brain.
Mm-hmm.
Just one example, there's a couple of chemicals being produced. One in the front of the brain, one in the back of the brain.
Okay.
And if you are a cell and you're only getting the one chemical, say in the back,
mm-hmm.
well, okay, you're going to become a neuron appropriate for the visual cortex.
Oh, okay.
If you're only getting the chemical from the front, hey, motor neuron.
Okay. Why does that sound like an insult? Motor neuron.
Okay. Yeah, and if you get a mix of both, you turn into the sensory somatic thing.
Okay.
The sensory cortex.
These chemicals are just kind of letting them know where they are in the brain.
Yeah. It's just chemical gradients. It's fairly simple triggers.
Hmm.
Of course, there are dozens or maybe even hundreds of these chemicals floating around making you decide what kind of brain to be at what time.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the cooperation is that there can be cheaters.
Of course.
Say, I know you're a group, you're a multicellular organism,
mm-hmm.
and you as an individual have to make this one chemical.
Okay.
For the good of all.
Hey.
And it's hard to do.
Well, it sucks to be me then.
And meanwhile, all your friends are also making this chemical.
Okay.
And you're all reaping the benefits.
Huh.
Well, what if you cheat? What if you stop making the chemical?
Yeah, who's going to know?
Yeah, and you're still reaping the benefits.
Waha!
There's a big question in the why aren't there cheaters?
Huh.
And there was an experiment done. I have no idea how to pronounce this. This is 2013.
Okay.
Digital organisms that were designed to imitate single-celled critters.
Okay.
Specifically looking at the way DNA expresses itself into various things.
Cool.
And there was that costly chemical for the benefit of all.
Okay.
And they found that populations that don't cheat, when they went in and looked at it, by happenstance, the same bits of DNA that produced the good chemical were also important for them to live at all. So if some mutation came along and stopped them from secreting the public good chemical,
mm-hmm.
it was likely also to kill them.
Ah, hey, that's the way to do it.
And in fact, I've seen that sort of thing all over the place. My last batch of critters, the figures.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that they experience all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Might become absolutely essential to their continued survival.
That's right.
It may or may not. I mean, there was one experiment I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I gave them day and night.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. During the daytime, it was the only time they could make energy, and they needed that energy.
Okay.
If they tried to make energy at night, they'd just lose it.
Uh-huh.
But unbeknownst to me, all the code for making the next generation was on the branch for nighttime.
Oh.
So I was thought I was being nice. I just left the lights on one day. And they all died.
You removed their busy time. Their turn on the music.
And, let's get it on.
singing.
Oh, I'm sorry. But it didn't happen with every population. Some of them you could leave the lights on and they like go, thank you. Meanwhile, how do you get something to be multicellular?
Yes, okay, this is my big question. I mean,
it's been done.
Digitally?
No, actually with an actual organism. Brewer's yeast.
Oh.
A single-celled critter, and all they did was that they let the yeast grow until there was a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
Then they shake the bucket vigorously.
Okay.
Let it settle, and then grab the yeast from the bottom.
Okay.
And then they'd do it again and again and again and again. Within a month, it went from being single-celled yeast to little bitty snowballs.
Hey.
Little groups of yeast cells stuck together.
Okay.
And they were all related, right? Basically, the yeast normally reproduced by budding.
Yeah.
A daughter cell would bud off from the parent.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that happened except for the part where it broke away.
Hey, okay.
But within 2 months, they were actually finding some cells that were being programmed cell death. These cells were dying on purpose. You know what I mean? Like,
still part of the snowball.
Still part of the snowball. What was happening is that once a snowball reached a certain size,
mm-hmm.
a daughter snowball would bud off.
Ooh.
But the daughter was already multicellular.
Okay.
And where the cells were dying would allow the daughter to break off cleanly.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
The thing is, in this case, that was an irreversible process. After a couple of months, nothing they did would let that yeast return to the single-celled lifestyle.
Hmm.
On the other hand, out in the world, we have, give me a moment, Salpingoca rosetta.
Salpingoca!
Everybody's favorite chronophagulate. There's every S. rosetta goes through a single-celled phase.
Hmm.
Under the right conditions, they will also form up into colonies.
Okay.
But that may or may not happen. And you know, once they have formed into colonies, there's a little bit of cell specialization.
Okay.
Based on the shape of the cells and the fact that some of them have to help this thing keep swimming through the water.
Okay.
Well, a lot of them don't. It's really a raw deal for the swimmers. But that one can return to being unicellular.
Oh.
So again, like whatever you do all the time or do at all, may or may not be something you get stuck doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are things I can do to make the dorg specialize, to imitate things like fate restriction and so forth.
Okay.
But as far as like preventing cheating,
yeah,
that's going to be a roll of the dice. I don't know how to make that happen on purpose.
That's going to take some work. They'll figure it out for you.
Oh, yeah. It won't sooner or later. Anyway, that's where we are, and that's where we're going, and hopefully over the break, I'll figure out how to give them senses. Mm. You know, I actually put the dorg through some of the same experiments as I did the figures.
Yeah?
Regarding primitive eyes.
Okay.
And they did much better.
Hey!
Didn't take nearly so much coaxing. Of course, the dorg, I think part of the reason they're not so fragile, is because so far, they don't have to solve the problem of survival.
They don't die?
They don't die.
Oh.
All that reproduction and so forth is being handled by an outside algorithm.
Oh, wow. Weird.
Yeah. What algorithm, you ask?
What algorithm?
Well, we'll talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.